Now it's time for the No Reading Edition, student-teacher classroom version of Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX, so don't go away. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Thanks to Michael McDonald for use of his song from Sweet Freedom, Running Scared, the movie. And also thanks to Erasure for letting us use their music. All right, we got an astrology topic for you today that I believe is very hot. It's called Outer Planets and House Transition is the name of today's topic. We are going to take a look at what happens when the outer planets beyond the Earth, the slow movers, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, what happens when they enter a house of life in your chart, how long they will stay in one particular house, and what kind of effects you can expect from Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto remaining in that house. And this is a very significant topic because some of those planets, like Pluto, will remain, and Neptune also will remain in that house for like 10 to 15 years in one house. So understanding what this effect has on your life is very important to understand why we go through a certain grind that can last for 5 and 10 and 15 years. Uranus will stay in one house for 7 years. Saturn will remain in one single house. Now there's 12 houses of life in the astrology chart, in every astrology chart. So what I'm telling you is that Saturn will stay in 1/12, in one sector of that wheel, one house of your life, for 2.5 years. Jupiter will stay there for about 1 year in one house. And Mars will stay there for an average of 2 to 6 months. So I think it's absolutely important that we understand outer planet movement and house transitions to understand what is going on with our lives. And knowing your rising sign today will help you understand today's topic too. That will be very important. You know, when we take a look at astrological effects, the 12 houses of life, I think, are the most important part of a chart to master. Because when I was a student of astrology, and when I realized that you could find out certain significant things from astrology, I was instructed about the 12 houses of life, and investigating the 12 houses of life, I have discovered that you can find nearly, literally, everything imaginable to be found in third-dimensional life by analyzing the 12 houses. Now, basically, when you have a rising sign, when you get your chart done, you're going to be assigned a rising sign. You're not just going to be assigned any kind of random rising sign. What's going to happen is by knowing your date and your time and your city of birth, we will calculate with computers the exact moment of your birth. What it reveals to us is what sign is on the eastern horizon at birth. Now you see, knowing that element in your chart, knowing your rising sign, and I want to make it clear that as we move through space, as the Earth turns, we are under the appearance that the sky is moving. We are really the ones that are moving. The sky, from our point of view, is pretty much frozen. But because the Earth is spinning very rapidly, hundreds and thousands of miles per hour, in order for us to make one full rotation in 24 hours, you better believe that we are booking. We are really spinning here. That the universe appears to revolve around us. So the Earth is so magnetic in its effect, that helps itself right there help validate this cosmic magnetic storm that we live in, this vortex we live in this solar system. Well, as the Earth is spinning, the energy from the universe keeps bathing the planet from the east, because the Earth spins to the east, okay, towards the east. So it appears that the universe is rising from our point of view in the east. Do you understand that? So that is why we call that ascendant or rising, and that is why that energy is the funnel, our focus, of all planetary forces in astrology. So knowing the rising sign, we are able to funnel and channel all the energy from anything astrologically designated in the universe through the rising. See, I'm a Leo, and I'm not lying, right? No, actually, I am a lion, but I'm not lying. Anyway, but I'm Libra rising. So if you really want to get to know Farley, you have to understand my Libra nature. My dad's a Cancer, but he is Sagittarius rising, and he is so much like unto a Sag because of that Sag rising. My mom's Aquarius, but she's Aries rising, and she is very much like, yeah, she has the energy of any Aries I've ever met. My sister's a Sag, but she is Virgo rising. So we like to step away from our sun signs and embrace the rising sign because it is one of the more significant parts of the chart. And you know what's the most fun thing about the rising sign? Once you get it, once you know it, we also know that that is the point of the universe, of this magnificent universe we live in. The rising sign designates the starting point of the 12 houses of life. Now, the 12 houses of life, to be simply explained for you, significantly and simply, is a circle, like a pie, cut in 12 slices, which basically is like dividing the universe up into 12 equal slices. If you saw the universe as a huge eternal circle that went on infinitely, you could divide that circle up into 12 sectors. And those 12 sectors happen to be the 12 zodiacal signs. All right, that's point number one. But point number two is that when we find out your rising sign, we have a new pie, an additional pie with 12 slices. Because what you do is you take the rising sign, like I'm 20 Libra rising, and my first house of life begins at 20 Libra and follows for 30 degrees approximately to the very next sign that follows Libra, which is Scorpio. So my first house, we call it, the first house of life. And, you know, basically, if you learn your house meanings, you're going to start getting astrology down, because the way we understand astrology and an individual character analysis is we analyze what astrological zodiacal signs, like Pisces, like Aries, like Libra, is on the cusp or the horizon of a particular house. So knowing the first house is personality, and know the first house is character, and knowing the first house is childhood and emotional development, and all those things that we pinpoint as identity, then we would know that Farley is a Libra in all those incidents. That's how we understand that. See, like, so what you do, like when we send you a chart in the mail, for example, we're going to send you your 12 slices of pie. And if you wanted to number them, you could number them 1 through 12. You would start on the far left edge where the 9 is in the clock face. And you could number the bottom 6 slices of pie, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It goes from left to right. And on the top half of the chart, we have another 6 slices of pie. You could number them from right to left, 7, 8, 9, and then 10 at the top, 11, and 12. The 12th slice of pie, the 12th house, would be numbered just before the first house starts again. So it goes 1 through 12, 1 through 12, 1 through 12. It's an endless eternal circle that's 1 through 12, the magic number 12. Differences between the 12 houses of life and the 12 signs of the zodiac is that unless you are a 0-degree rising sign, which very, very few people are, you will have a combination of two sign energies in every single house in your chart. Let me give you an example. I'm Libra rising. It starts at 20 degrees, but it goes 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29 Libra, and then it goes to 0 Scorpio. And while we're in 0 Scorpio, because we haven't gone the whole 30-degree jaunt yet through the first house, we include 0 Scorpio up to 20. See, so my first house is a combination of the last 10 degrees of Libra and the first 20 degrees of Scorpio, so we find not only that my personality is Libran, but we also add Scorpio qualities to my nature. Intense, sexy, occult, mysterious. See how it works? And that now we have identified Libra and Scorpio energy to identify first house matters. Second house matters would be identified in my chart, because I'm Libra rising, by Scorpio and Sag vibrations. Third house matters would be Sag Capricorn. Fourth house matters would be Capricorn Aquarius, and so on and so forth, all the way through the 12. Now, if you're a good student of astrology, you will know by now that the first house is the self, the second house is what the self believes in, the third house is how the self communicates those values in early communications, like with brothers and sisters, the fourth house is the self's residence, the fifth house is the self's creative force and family matters, the sixth house is how the self serves, and also the health the temple of the self. So the lower six houses, the first six houses, are all the self. When we cross the horizon, the other horizon, the western horizon, which is called the descendant or the falling sign, the sign that is setting at our birth, when we get to that other half of the chart, we are dealing with the world. We are stepping away from the self, and we are focusing now on the planet, on people. So the seventh house would be contact with others in relationships, partnerships, marriage, and such. The eighth house would be intimate contact with others. This is like trusts, inheritances, legacies, also procreation, sex, mysterious and intuitive sides to our nature and such. The ninth house would be higher education, higher communication, philosophy, foreigners, travel. The self is really reaching out now. And the tenth house would be the success of the self and the ambition of the self. And the 11th house would be the self's goals and friends and organizations. And the 12th house would be the psychic part of the being. The 12th house would be the self preparing to step into higher realms or self-destructing and descending to lower realms. So, see, each one of these houses is important because through astrological analysis, by knowing where our rising sign is, like when we get our chart done, and also by noticing what two signs we have in each house, unless you're zero rising. If you're a zero rising, you'll be one of those rare puppies that has only one sign per house, which is kind of odd, but it is unique at least. And but the rest of you, see, like, we can, by analyzing, astrology is like a science of combinations. So we analyze each and every house, the signs that are involved, the zodiac signs that are involved in those houses, and the planets that are in those houses, how they're aspected, right? What signs they're in. And we start to interpret character here and karma. We start to understand the vibration that the human body is affected by at birth. Well, the purpose of this topic, and I always like to give an introduction to these topics to help some of you beginners catch up, right? Outer planets and house transitions. This is a heavy topic because when we're talking about planets like Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune and Pluto, planets that will enter an area of space, right, like Jupiter and Cancer right now. Well, Jupiter's been stuck in Gemini and Cancer now for over a year. Well, now if you were smart and you knew what Gemini and Cancer meant in your chart, then you would have some idea as to how this planet might be affecting you. You know, the way astrology works is we identify character and we identify vehicle by analyzing the birth chart. In other words, by looking at the chart at birth and where the planets are frozen, the moment you take your first breath, we have a strong idea of the cosmic nature of the being that you are. Because literally, you become a reflection of the universal energies that exist at the moment of your birth. That's why astrology is such a phenomenal science. Because we astrologers can take a look at planetary locations to understand why you act and behave and think and speak and talk just the way you do. But the way we understand patterns and cycles and transition is to follow the movement of the planets through the 12 houses of life. It's like the moon goes through the 12 houses in a month. So the moon is like what we call the cosmic trigger. That sets off everything in your life. You could be having Jupiter sitting in your, if you're Libra rising like me, and you've had Jupiter hovering by your midheaven there, and Cancer in your ninth and tenth house, then issue, you know, Jupiter is a planet of expansion. So those areas that would be expanding for all Libra risings, see, because all Libra risings having Jupiter up there in the top part of their chart where Gemini and Cancer is, we've all been experiencing Jupiter through the eighth and ninth house and entering the tenth soon. So we focus on the meanings of the 8th and 9th house. We expand upon it because Jupiter is an expansion philosophical planet. And what does that mean? Well, that means that right now that Libra risings are cleaning house. Cancer is a vibration that asks us to process the past. Get rid of junk that's laying around not only in the files, in our businesses, in our personal lives, but it's letting go. People that are Cancer energy, it's funny, it's like dragging things in. It's like what the cat drags in. Cancer-type people, whether you have Venus there or Moon or Rising or whatever, are people that accumulate a lot of garbage. And sometimes you have to dump the trash and process it in order to renew and allow for more space in that soul bowl. So a lot of Libra rising beings are experiencing that kind of effect. Well, if you were Cancer rising, with Jupiter in Cancer right now, Jupiter has just gone into your first house. Well, Jupiter expands, so a lot of Cancer rising could have a focus on weight and appearance. I know a friend of mine, Roger Reinhardt's Cancer rising, and he just lost about 70 pounds, and he's got Jupiter in his first house. So Jupiter hasn't been there for 12 years. So there's a focus on his weight and his appearance. There's a focus on the energy of his character with Jupiter sitting there in Cancer in his first house for 1 year. So all Cancer risings are focused on that type of energy. Self-esteem, self-love, matters of childhood, matters of emotions, and how they feel about themselves and their appearance and their character and their nature. See how it works? See, if you were Scorpio rising, you'd have to find out where Cancer was to understand what Jupiter's doing for that year. So we'd count off Scorpio would be your first house, and Sag your second, Capricorn your third, and Aquarius your fourth, and Pisces your fifth, and Aries your sixth, Taurus your seventh, Gemini your eighth, and Cancer would be your ninth. So you're real close to Libra risings. Scorpio rising people would be experiencing a need to be free, to travel, to contact foreigners, to get in touch with new philosophies, and to also have a lot of dealings with emotional balance in a higher philosophical venue. See, there's a lot going on in astrology because Saturn will whip you. See, like whatever Saturn's doing, you'll end up being tortured. So like whereas Jupiter brings you luck and love and power and ability to overall transcend things by doing something to process, Saturn will show you where you're being obsessed and selfish and irritable and intense and uncentered. So Saturn's in Capricorn right now. So all those kids that are turning 30 and 60 are having a Saturn return. But every one of us in the whole planet are dealing with Saturn being in one of our houses. You get it? It's like Saturn's in my third house right now. It's in Capricorn, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn. My third house begins at, let's go from 20 Libra to 20 Scorpio. That's my first house. 20 Scorpio to 20 Sag, that's my second house, and 20 Sag, 20 Capricorn. Well, Saturn's at 12 Capricorn right now. Bingo. It's in my third house. So what's my problem? Getting things done. I'm hobbled right now. Saturn rules the knees. I have a knee injury. It's in Capricorn, which also rules the knees. I have a lot of details to do in my life. I'll let you know. I had 2 celestite sales. I went out for lunch on Saturday, and I walked around on Saturday night. On Sunday, I had a family reunion, my sister's birthday party. And, I'm hobbled, and I'm having a problem getting everything done, pulling everything together. But Saturn's going to be there for 2.5 years. Just so happens that Uranus is also in Capricorn, and Neptune is also in Capricorn. So if you could find where Capricorn was in your chart, then you'd become aware of what house was being affected by these three planets. Saturn for 2.5 years, Uranus for 7 years, and Neptune for almost 15 years. Let's give you an idea. Let's say you're Pisces rising. So we'd go Pisces the first house, Aries is the second, Taurus is the third, Gemini would be your fourth, Cancer's your fifth, Leo's your sixth, Virgo's your seventh, Libra's your eighth, Scorpio's your ninth, Sagittarius is your tenth, and Capricorn's your 11th. So Pisces rising people have been dealing with Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune playing around in their 11th house, which is the house of goals and friends and organizations. Saturn's effects would show lessons and problems and karma with goals, friends, and organizations. It's totally some major thing to learn there. Neptune, which is an illuminator, also can be a great deceiver, also can be a planet of vagueness or dreams, is hovering in that area. And Uranus, which is a planet of dramatic awakening and changes, is also hovering in that area. So Pisces rising, see what I mean when people call up and they say, what's going on in my life? Well, if they're Pisces rising, or whatever rising that they are, I can go over to Capricorn and find out what house that is, and I'll know that that's an area of their life that offers very strange focus. Aries rising would have, all the Aries rising people I know are having that Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune conjunction happening in Capricorn in their career house. So, and I know an Aries rising out there that hasn't worked for 6 years. Haven't worked for 6 years. And they've had the planet of karma, Saturn, and the planet of illusion, which is Neptune, and also the planet of perfectionism, Uranus, all in that 10th house in Capricorn. So you better believe Aries rising people are having career karma. You know, Taurus rising people, where's Capricorn at in their chart? Well, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, their ninth house. So Taurus rising people would be enslaved. The ninth house is the house of freedom and mobility. But with Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, three planets of intense karma, trapped in Capricorn for all these years for Taurus rising, hey, they have a long road to tow here. We are talking major responsibility. Capricorn is a sign of responsibilities. Gemini risings have Saturn and Uranus and Neptune and Capricorn in their eighth houses. So there's heavy transition there concerning eighth house matters, which is sex, love, intimacy, inheritances, legacies. See how it works? So if you follow the outer planets and you learn your houses and what signs are in the houses, if you learn what we call sign location, like if I tell you, like if someone says to me, Farley Pisces, I go sixth house. Or they say Farley Virgo, I'll go 12th house. If they say Farley Taurus, then I'll say 8th house. Farley Cancer, I'll go 10th house. Because I know those signs are on the cusp of my houses. So if someone says, Farley Pluto's in Scorpio, where is it in your chart? It's moving through my first house, and I have been going through such an incredible transition in identity. Since Pluto's entered Libra and Scorpio, and it's been in my first house, I have totally altered my lifestyle. I have gone into 4 years of total sobriety where I hardly, if I ever take a drink, I would say it would only be in celebration, if that, like a glass of wine during the holidays just to toast my family to health or whatever. But prior to that, I was one of the more abusive, destructive beings with a lousy lifestyle, lousy eating habits, and Pluto in that first house has totally changed my feelings for myself, how I take care of myself, you know, what I put in my body, and all that stuff. It's incredible. The validation you can get by analyzing the outer planets and movement through their houses. I'll tell you what, Mars is an activator. Wherever Mars goes, it's like sticking 1,000 volts into that house, whatever it is. Mars right now is in Scorpio, headed for Sag in a couple weeks. Jupiter is an expander, and it also is a revealer, a philosophical revelator. Saturn is a planet of karma that lets us know where we are reaching too hard, too far, too fast. Lessons we must learn. Uranus is an awakener. Sometimes it is a lightning bolt awakener. It is a planet of breakups. It is a planet of shocks. It is also a planet of changes. So wherever Uranus is, you better believe you're going to have changes. Neptune is a planet that can rule either spiritual grace or self-destruction. Because you self-destruct from Neptunian effects. Why is that? Because of denial. Because you refuse to admit the truth. Because you know there is a chapter in your life that is over. You don't want to embrace it. That's what Neptune does. Neptune has a veil that says, you know damn right this relationship's over, but you won't admit it. Or you know darn right you're not going to get that career going, but some people just won't quit. And Neptune keeps you stoned. Not on drugs, but stoned on the belief that something can happen. And Pluto is the rebirth planet. Wherever Pluto goes, you can expect transition and gradual metamorphosis. It is the chameleon. And this is heavy, you know, because with the moon skipping through the houses every month, all 12 houses, you got to believe that even if you live to be 60 or 70, you can understand what a planet like Neptune or Pluto will do to you, because you're only, you know, since I was born, Neptune was in Libra when I was born. Well, give me a break. I'm 41 now. It's only been, now Neptune's in Capricorn. Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn. Well, if I'm lucky, I might see Neptune go into Pisces. I'd be real old if it goes into Aries, maybe close to 100. But you get my point? Like, if you focus on where these planets are going, understanding they're not going to even hit all 12 of your houses, then you'll start to understand some of the karmic lessons you must experience in your life. Like, Pluto was in Leo when I was born, and now it's in Scorpio. That's Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio. That's four signs away. So even if I live another 40, 50 years, I might see, you know, when I was born, Pluto was in Cancer for my parents. It was in Leo for me. It stayed in Cancer an abnormally long time for some reason. Once in a while, a planet does that. It'll stay there longer than normal. But Pluto might go into Sag, Capricorn. I might see it go into Aquarius. See, understanding where these planets are going and that you're not going to see them go through all 12 houses in your chart may explain to you what you're headed for in your life. The outer planets and house transition. Okay, this is KFOX, Redondo Beach, 93.5 FM. In case you're wondering what this show is, it's Advanced Metaphysics. This is Astrological Metaphysical Radio. We've been here since 1984. We do a commercial-free topic for you every day from around 12 to 12:30. And it's the public that keeps us on the air. The glamour and the magnificence and the glory of the Astrology Hour is the fact that we have people like you out there that hear these topics and then are inspired to get their charts done. You know, astrology is a science, and it really has nothing to do with black magic. In fact, the Bible is laced with ancient astrological and metaphysical truths all through it. You've heard of the lion and the lamb, that's Leo and Aries. You know, and you've heard of the eagle, that's Scorpio. And you've heard of the elders, you know, those are the 12 signs of the zodiac. You know, the Bible is laced with astrological truth. So don't believe any of this rubbish or propaganda about people trying to tell you it's not. But anyway, we have found that to understand ourselves and the path of the soul and our true relationship to the God force, astrology plays a major role.